This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Dom is not here today.
Where is he?
He took an early Thanksgiving vacation.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, why not, you know? I mean, you got to kind of break yourself into the holiday spirit. I know I did last weekend, and we'll get to that in just a little while. It was not a good experience at all.
Well, save that.
But at the same time, we have tips on how to deal with Thanksgiving that may be a little difficult with other family members that might have voted for Trump.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that. I think we should explain to everybody who we are, first of all, filling in for
that
Dom.
Helps. Yeah.
It's John and Gordy.
That's
John
right.
Peterson.
I'm John and I'm Gordy.
And I'm Gordy over here. Thank you. We've introduced ourselves. Now, we do the morning show on WMDX in Madison every morning, 6 to 8 a.m., Monday through Friday.
That's right. It's a local show.
Yeah. So we're up kind of late, you know?
Well, this is very late, yeah.
Yeah.
Normally,
been up a long time.
Normally, I'm trying to, you know, maneuver around the coffee IV that I normally hook up in the morning, but now it's just water. What's that all about?
Yeah. We don't need any coffee. Yeah. No. Not now.
Well, we've got a couple of guests lined up today. In just about a half hour or so, we're going to be talking to Busted Pencils.
Tim Slecker.
There you go.
Yes.
And we don't know if Johnny Lupinacci is going to be with
Lupinacci
him or not.
Johnny Lupinacci will almost certainly not be with him. We will just have Dr. Tim Slecker.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
Johnny's probably out getting ready for another hockey game. I think he does a lot of hockey coaching or refereeing.
Well, actually, at this time, Johnny will be in class.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, in class. Okay.
All right. So we've got Tim Slecker coming up, and then in our next hour.
Very serious about education, that's for sure.
He's an educated educator. He likes to talk education.
I know. I do love that.
And that's what we're going to talk about, oddly enough.
They say education instead of education.
Yeah. Education. And then Jim Santel will join us.
That's
in our
right.
5
from Amicus,
hour.
The Law Review. We've got a few questions to ask him about what's happened, what's going on, and where we are going to be led down the path of disaster with Trump not obeying any laws, any rules, or regulations. He's making up his own as he goes along.
Yeah.
So we'll ask. I know Jim is going to be upset again.
Do you think
last
so?
Time we talked to him, he was very angry about everything that was taking place.
That was just a couple of days ago we talked to him.
Yeah.
Well, the Department of Education basically just giving up on the cases against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Just that's it. They're done.
They are done.
Yeah.
They
so
are
we'll done. Talk to Jim Santel about all that.
But we got to start off with something before we get into anything else. We've got to talk about the tariffs because that was a big topic during the campaign. And everybody tried to explain what tariffs do to the economy and how people, us, every American in the country, will be paying for those tariffs. But, you know, Trump never got the message. He didn't understand it. No one, I guess, is brave enough to explain it to him. I think they're afraid of him. I think that's why they don't want to explain it, because if he doesn't get it, then where do you go with that, you know?
Well, the president of Mexico has already objected to it, and she has said that they will impose tariffs right back at us. And, you know, a lot of people are saying this is just a scare tactic. This is just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. Just throw out the worst possible thing and then back away from that slowly as we get, you know, into his administration.
And we know that's not true.
Yeah.
So he's going to do it.
He's going to do
it. He's going to do it. And we're going to see prices go right through the roof. And I can't wait for the faces, the frowns from the people who voted for him, thinking that, you know, he's just a lot of talk. He doesn't really mean any of this stuff. Now, let's go to Fox Business. Maria Bartiromo grimaced after she was reminded that Trump did say that tariffs are a beautiful word. Okay. All right. This really
hold on just a moment. I'm still pulling files.
All right.
We will stand by.
The person she was talking to was Representative Eric Burleson. And he was one of the big Trump supporters out there, and he kind of explained a little bit about the tariff imbalance that has taken place over so many years. Do we have that cut ready, 182?
Almost.
Almost, okay. And by the way, not only is this a crazy idea that that somehow the prices are going to go down when consumers pay more for a product that's imported into this country, but they're now devising a way to soften that blow by saying, you know, we're going to feel a little pain at first, and then everything's going to be much better.
Okay.
But they did run on lowering the prices by half. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to the first cut here. This, again, is Maria Vartiromo, and she's talking to Representative Eric Burleson about the tariffs. Let's see what they have to say.
Congressman, President Trump promised tariffs, and this is how he's starting, even before getting into office. Your reaction?
Yeah, I think he called tariffs a beautiful word, Maria.
Yeah, he did.
But look, you know, I think it's something that is necessary. It's long overdue that we kind of course correct on some of the trade imbalances that we have with other countries. When you look at the fact that that Japan has a 100% tariff on cars that are manufactured in the United States, that after World War II, the United States allowed these countries to institute these tariffs so that they could help rebuild these nations. And I don't know about you, Maria, but that was a long time ago. And these countries have had plenty of time to rebuild. And today we have an imbalance. And I think that it's time that we course correct that. And the way to do that is through tariffs.
Yeah.
So tariffs. A beautiful word.
It is a beautiful word, and it's a course correction, of course. And I'd like to get to a little feature that we have on our morning show. It's Talk Talk. Do we have that intro?
Not yet. Still working on it.
Okay.
Part of the great switchover that has to happen in a radio park is between the Maggie Dawn show and the Dom Salvia show. There's a very, very short turnaround There is a very, very short turnaround. We have about 5 minutes to wrap up the Maggie Dawn show and then get started for the Dom Salvia show, which means that the first segment tends to we need to have a little bit of patience on
just
the
clips. We should slow down just a little bit, right?
Yeah, let's enjoy the ride here.
Well, in the meantime,
we could give a little background, from where we're from. I'm from Milwaukee originally, and I love the way Dom always defends Milwaukee. I mean, that was just great to hear. Yeah, fiercely. And same here. Mm-hmm. You know, I lived on every side of Milwaukee just to see what it was like when I was, renting apartments. Mm-hmm. I grew up on 76th and Howard, and then 84th in Oklahoma. And then I lived on the east side near the university, and I was born at St. Mary's Hospital.
Wow.
That's it.
Kind of jumped around.
St. Mary's Hospital, the one that's now...
On North Avenue.
Oh.
Yeah,
not the one that has been pulled down that was on the UWM campus.
Mm. Well, it's close to that. I think it's on the lakefront.
Right.
Yeah, by the tower.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's you. Now, I've been in Wisconsin about 25 years total. Yeah. I moved away a couple of times. I moved to South Bend, Indiana.
Just weren't happy with Wisconsin.
Lived in Indiana for a while. Lived in Philadelphia for a while. Indianapolis. Bounced around a little bit here at Philadelphia.
I do have your talk ready, by the way.
Okay. What do we...
Well, we can continue, with the tariff information. Now, I use this feature because there's a lot of really smart stuff going on TikTok and on the social media networks where people do their own videos and they do their own explanations and they commit their own rants. And I love those things. And I want to at least play this rant about the tariffs and what they're really about. Let's play it. Let's go to Talk Talk. Yep. How you doing? Talk Talk. All right. So this is just a regular everyday person telling us what they think about the tariffs.
Okay. Donald Trump's tariff plan is a way to raise money for the federal government. When Donald Trump cuts taxes for the top 5% of income earners, who, by the way, can never spend their money in a lifetime, the federal government goes into a deficit, right? They don't have enough money to run the federal government. So he raises tariffs, which will raise more money. Well, what that does is raises costs for low and middle class income earners who depend on low cost items that we ship in from China and Mexico. So whose costs go up? Low and middle class income earners. And he pitched you on, oh, I'm going to be tough on China and Mexico. No, he is raising the cost on low and middle class income earners, which means the federal government is going to be run on the backs of low and middle class income earners. And it breaks my heart, actually, because the biggest con man in history conned 75 million people. He has to fill the budget. And he just wants to do it on the back of people who are already struggling because he doesn't really care. And his buddies and him, billionaires, should be able to keep their money.
So it's an interesting point of view, isn't it? I mean, you know, when we pay the tax, it's going to be when they import something, the importer pays the tax and that goes straight to the government into their coffers and it starts paying for the tax cuts that we're going to give the billionaires and millionaires. So it's as simple as that. All right, now let's get to the whole. Now, this we have a historical reference here for these tariffs, and let's play it. This is cut 184.
The point here
is, but it's a lot of the supply.
All tariffs, though.
Oh, that's my bad. That's 185.
Yep, 184. This is about the Boston
Party.
Tea Party.
Yeah.
The United States of America was founded off the back of a protest on import taxes. The British Parliament wanted to put a 3% tariff, in effect, an import tax on tea. And in Boston, they were so irate about this import tariff being placed on them, they threw the tea into the sea in the harbour and started a revolution. And now we're at the state where the President of the United States wants to impose taxes not just on tea, but on everything else.
Yeah, why aren't we throwing things into the ocean somehow or in the harbor?
It worked in Boston.
I know, yeah. It started an entire country. So here we are. You know, we're okay now with taxing and tariffs on everything that comes into this country.
Apparently so.
It's crazy. Now we've got J.D. Vance. A few comments from him about the tariffs. Yeah. We'll get to that.
Yes, we will. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia. We're coming right back. You can call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
John and Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it feels like we're dancing in the dark when it comes to explaining what tariffs do to this country and how everybody pays for it. My God.
You can call us. You can chime in. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
That's right. We do have a call from Catherine. Let's take that call right now. Catherine, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
What are you doing on the network?
We've barricaded ourselves in the studio.
What
we're not
are you
coming
doing?
Out.
See, you tried to keep us
to
off
Wausau?
The network.
I did.
I know.
Oshkosh doesn't need to hear from you. Green Bay, they don't need you. Wisconsin Rapids, what are you doing?
Now, yeah, come on, Catherine. Come on, Catherine. Dom decided not to show up today, so we needed someone.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So,
I am telling on you. I am not covering for you. I am so telling on you. I can't believe you did this.
Now, I know you tried to keep us a secret, but at least we're a secret in Madison.
I didn't want to share you. Yes, yeah. I didn't want to share you, but I'm really thrilled that you're talking about these tariffs because this is a very, very confusing topic. And it I think is. You're going to be educating the entire state of Wisconsin. Go, 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 guys. I'm so proud of you. Have a blast.
Well, thank you.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thanks for giving us a call. And I thought it was interesting. You know, the Boston Tea Party comparison was really an interesting point of view. I think that's what we're looking at here, and no one's complaining about it. What the heck, right?
Well, yes. And I know. Well, we got more on the tariffs, right?
We do. We have J.D. Vance. A few comments from him. This now, is just crazy stuff.
You know, we haven't heard much from J.D.
No, he's starting to rear his ugly head again, and we're gonna play whatever he has to say this time. You know, believe it or not, the tariffs are really a reaction to fighting slavery in other countries.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute. Connect the dots on that one.
Slave labor. We've got to fight that. So we should raise taxes on the Americans who, by the way, voted for Trump in Vance so they could lower prices at least by half. I want to see my grocery bill cut in half. I want to see car prices cut in half. And I also want to see gas prices cut in half. So we'll see. But I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon if we listen to cut 185 from J.D. Vance.
The point here
is but it's a lot of the supply.
All tariffs, though, all tariffs, which you seem to be in favor of, they're inflationary. So how is the Trump-Vance idea here going to help make things more affordable for people if you're putting taxes on goods they're purchasing from overseas?
I don't necessarily buy the premise there, Margaret. If you apply tariffs, really what it is you're saying that we're going to penalize you for using slave labor in China and importing that stuff in the United States. What you end up doing is you end up making more stuff in America, in Pennsylvania, in Ohio, and in Michigan.
That did not happen in the Trump administration, though.
Well, it actually did happen in the Trump administration, Margaret.
You did have
significant onshoring. But it takes time, Margaret, and that's one of the reasons why I think that we need a second term of President Trump is this stuff is not going to happen overnight. The American heartland wasn't destroyed in 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be rebuilt in 4 years, but you really need to double down on this policy of bringing good jobs back to the heartland and, more importantly, making stuff in America. We have to be self-reliant as a country.
That's right. So we should take a little more time, let the prices go up a little bit. It may be like that for a couple of years or so, but what the heck, right? You know, we'll finally get rid of slave labor and we'll all be better off and people will start, you know, moving their country or their companies back to this country. Oh, I can't wait for all those dreams to take place.
Okay.
All right. He made another comment and it just kind of reaffirms what we just heard. And this is cut 186. Let's
play. Where you have to do what woke corporations want you to do to be able to live a decent life in this country. That's not freedom. And so we have to choose. Do we want freedom? Do we want an American way of life? Or do we want short-term satisfaction for every little thing? I think we're increasingly in a situation where we're going to have to choose between one or the other. We're going to have to get a little uncomfortable on some of these things. Or maybe you're going to have to be willing to pay a little bit more for certain consumer goods. We may even have to be willing to attack some of the companies financially that are waging war on the American people.
What?
That's tough.
What is that?
But I don't see any other way out of this except for through it.
Oh, yeah, I see a way out of it. Cutting prices in half. That's what we were promised. That's what a lot of people voted for. I did not vote for you for that particular reason. I knew it was, you know, gaslighting.
Well, the tariffs also, the ones that Trump just announced against Mexico and Canada, along with China.
Yeah.
This blows up the whole deal that he put together.
Right.
With the first time that he was president, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And now he wants to throw that out, put more tariffs on, and threatening them anyway. We'll see if they actually happen.
Well, the fun part of this is that we have not really heard anything from Canada yet.
Right.
What are they thinking, right? I mean, the last time this happened, we had a trade war over lumber.
Right.
And housing prices went up.
Skyrocketed.
Construction stopped, almost a standstill. Mm-hmm. We had dairy wars between Canada and the U.S., mostly Wisconsin, of course. Mm-hmm. And it got ugly. Very definitely got. Oh, let's go to Andrew.
Yeah, can we squeeze this phone call in, Andrew?
Sure,
go ahead with your comments.
Sure, go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, guys, you got a good show going on. I hope you can help explain that this is actually a punishment on the American citizens who choose to buy things from the countries that are being tariffed. Mm-hmm. For example, if we want avocados from Mexico, we're going to pay 25% more. This really doesn't hurt Mexico because the only thing that will happen to them, they'll have fewer sales until the stupid people in this country figure out we don't buy 25% more avocados to satisfy Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Can
you help
explain that better for me?
No, the whole point is that, you know, we pay the higher price importing that stuff into this country. It goes straight into the government coffers, and it helps prop up the government and pay for services that the government provides while we give tax cuts to the wealthy, and the Trump tax cuts part two will be taking place as well. And I think they're even going to lower the corporate tax by 1%. Mm. I believe that's on the schedule.
That's
so anyway,
plan. Yeah. Andrew, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you. In just a few moments, we'll be talking to Busted Pencils, Tim Slacker.
Yeah, that's coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network. John and Gordy in for Dom Salvia. Stay with us.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Johnny Gordy filling in for Dom Salvia, who took a little extra time off for Thanksgiving.
He deserves it.
And we're on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, we thank Dom for letting us fill in here for today. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on. The Deer Hunters Roundup, though. I want to talk about this because there are a lot of deer hunters out there. And some of them are listening, you know, even right now, probably sitting getting ready to do the hunt.
We have Tim Slacker on the line from Busted Pencil. Have you listened to this program, The Deer Hunters?
No, I haven't listened to the Deer Hunters Roundup, but I, you know what? I will be here in where I'm at in Ohio on Monday going out, and I appreciate the Deer Hunters.
Well, you can get on the Civic Media app and listen to it on the podcast.
Okay.
Just go to civicmedia.us. But this has been going on for 50 years.
50 years.
Oh.
This show.
Yeah.
They do it for 9 days in a row in the evening. They share stories from all the deer hunters that are out there, and they all have goofy names for their deer stands.
Yeah. When you hear about their deer stands,
it's hilarious.
It is just hilarious. There's a lot of sexual innuendo. Okay. And I just want to warn you that that's the best part of the program.
PG-13, at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I just remember you always got to make sure that you put enough toilet paper in a few pockets.
That's right.
That's the way to go. All right.
All right. Well, let's get to some of the topics that you're covering on your podcast, which everybody can hear at our Civic Media website.
Busted Pencils every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then Saturday you have the show as well.
Saturday, 3 o'clock, across all the Civic Media apps and stations, 3 o'clock.
All right. Well, let's talk about choice. You know that Trump ran on choice. He wanted to take it across the entire country, not just state by state, but across the entire country. And, of course, people voted for Trump, but they didn't vote when it was on their local ballots. They didn't vote for choice.
Yes. So,
Tell us about your guest, David Pepper.
Oh, my. We had a guest, David Pepper, very active in Ohio politics, Democratic supervisor or chair of the, but he just did this, observation that in Kentucky, right down over the border from where he is in Cincinnati, that, across the state where they put vouchers up on a ballot all across Kentucky, it lost. It just lost. People chose, in fact, the choice between public schools or private money going to private school or public money going to private schools, nonstop all the way across Kentucky, the voters said, no, we love our public schools. We do not want public money going to private schools. But at the same time, they voted to elect President Donald Trump. David goes down to Kentucky, goes to the county that absolutely had the overwhelming majority, 80-20 of them, 80% of the voters voted in favor of Trump to be president. Mm-hmm. That same group of voters, 74% of them voted in favor of their public schools, or in other words, they voted down private school vouchers. And so there's an interesting kind of phenomena there that's going on. Johnny and I, we've been talking about this for years on Busted Pencil, saying that I'm telling you, a winning game is to always get behind your public schools.
Absolutely.
Now, what is the story though going on here that's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
Because the reality is if you've been paying attention to President Trump's language, as you said, Project 2025, there's a direct massive attack, a dismantling type of attitude. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. He wants to create a national voucher for people to take that money and go to private schools. And that's been forward, but yet in the same place. So how do you vote for President Trump and then vote in favor of your public schools or vote down vouchers when you know he's bringing forward vouchers? Johnny pointed out a really interesting potential way of understanding this is that actually those two, when you really listen to President Trump about when he wants to do away with the Department of Education, he then follows that up with, we want to move it back to the states and the local areas so that they can make the decisions. Right. And so is that the message that the voters heard, in that they were saying, hey, this is our right. This is our local decision. We get to make this decision. And so therefore, they didn't hear the disconnect of President-elect Trump's national ambitions to actually do away with all public schools by putting forth a national private voucher. It's an interesting phenomenon.
It is. And another part of that is moving some of the departments in the Department of Education to other branches of the government in order to handle some of the duties that they already have. And one of the scariest ones, I think, and I can't find the article that I read it in, but they want to take the student loan and grant program, give it to the Treasury, and then the Treasury has the discretion of either doling out the money to a state based on whether they agree with the state's politicians or their education or whatever they're doing in the state. It's discretionary, and that would affect every student in that state.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It's really bizarre, but I was thinking about this today at some point, in between cutting turkey pieces and, potatoes and everything, because Jess
making
knows
three different kinds of mashed potatoes.
I've got vegans, vegetarians, and meat eaters all for tomorrow. So let me tell you,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. But to think about that though, is that the idea that my local neighbor really wants to vote in favor of their public school, and they hear that message of saying, you know what, we want the decision making to, quote, go down to the states, go down to the local. That, I think, is almost, in one way, is really cute thinking, but it assumes though that your local and or state representatives have your local community public schools' best interests at heart.
Right.
And that is where really, when you look at, particularly here in Ohio, where I'm at, I mean, they have voted across all the rural Republican held areas in Ohio. They have voted in favor of a statewide voucher. So the reality here is that dropping it to the states, that really doesn't do anything to protect your public school. And so this idea of local control, I think that that's actually one way of selling people a bunch of BS, is that we're going to give it back to the local control. When the reality is they know darn well that even at local control, the idea of vouchers and private school vouchers, that those are actually being held very strongly by the elected, typically Republicans in all of those areas, whether they be state and or local politicians, they're in favor of vouchers. So the reality is that how do you get the community members voting 74% of them in favor of their schools? How do we enlist them in a movement to really recognize and understand? We know how much you love your public schools. We know how much you love working with the teachers. We know how you see each and every person as a neighbor and a community member. The reality is here, though, is that being turned back to the states, do you have the state representatives that are going to stand up and support your local public schools? Because if not, we need to move people in that direction. This is where the Democrats, who of course are absolutely awesome at learning how and being awesome at losing, they of course will not hear that, hey, guess what? If you stand up in favor of public schools, it's a winning issue. Instead, they'll come around and say, yeah, we need to increase, you know, we need to decrease the achievement gap. We need better tests. We need, and they'll be a Democrat and they'll lose. But anyway, so that's a whole bunch.
Talking to Dr. Tim Slecker from Busted Pencils, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'm sure Linda McMahon's going to straighten all this out.
Yeah.
As soon as she walks in the Department of Education.
As soon as she walks into the ring, I mean classroom.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. That's right.
Right?
She's even teamed up with, who is it, Moms for Liberty.
Moms for Liberty, which again was one of the potential Secretary of Education nominees, was the president of for Liberty. Yeah, I mean, there was a whole lineup of horrendous people. The potential that, you know, we got Linda McMahon. I don't know, you know, is she going to do a suplex? The reality, though, is she's a businesswoman, and she is really looking at this, I think, again, from the standpoint of consolidating. This is weird because they want federal, they create a story of letting go of federal control. But John, as you even point out, the policies, though, that they're going to put forward about you getting the state block monies is in one example, is that you must conform, though, to what they actually want before you get that money. So I'm not exactly sure how that's actually letting go of federal control, because the reality is that they are going to say, you still will not get this money in the form of a block grant unless you are teaching some Christian patriotism, darn it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely, and boy, they want to go with that Christian patriotism. That's for sure. At least the Defense Department nominee, he wants to create a Christian army.
Yes,
and it's a secret thing that he told everybody about.
Pete Hegseth.
Pete Hegseth. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. He calls it. Let me see. The classical Christian schools boot camps. That's what he's calling it, and it's going to go underground. And then the first step, of course, is choice nationwide.
Right.
And then after that, then they unleash the boot camp trainees. I don't know what that means
It can sound ridiculous and funny, and in one way it is, but at the same time, you know, the state of Texas this week literally put in place that the K-8 curriculum will be laced with Bible, Christian Bible, the New Testament, that will be part of the curriculum elementary school kids in the state of Texas. You know, and so this whole push for some form of Christian nationalism and what they're calling patriotism, I'm sorry, we keep putting this forward. I'm like, I thought these were the people who were against indoctrination. But
no, just other people's indoctrination, Tim.
I mean, this is fully in your face indoctrination like you have never seen before. We want you to be Christian, we want you to be patriots, you know, and the fact is that the only patriotism we really value is 1776 types of, you know, Boston Tea Party types of people, Lexington Concord, and again, you know, if they really understood the true history there, they'd see that most of these are, again, some form of rebellion as opposed to some form of patriotism. It's a mess. I don't know, though. Thinking about this, though, kind of going back to the bottom line fact here, is that, guess what? Given the opportunity to vote in favor or against your public schools, our neighbors all across this country continue to say, we love our community public schools. We are not going to vote against them. That is a powerful message for any one politician or group of a political party to understand what's going on there.
But they're still pursuing it. That's the part that I can't wrap my head around. They still want it, and they're pushing it really hard in every state. And yet, everybody's voting against that possibility of happening in their state.
Exactly. And what they're doing here in Ohio, which is one of the ways, this is where David Pepper has really helped me understand this. There is no vote for vouchers in the state of Ohio by the people who actually go to public schools. It has been taken out as of the opportunity for local voters to vote. And the legislature has in and of itself created the rules and said that Ohio is going to be a choice state, regardless of what my neighbors here think about their local public school. There is no voting of the public in favor of their public schools.
All right, we're going to take a break here. I want to talk about the University of Oklahoma and the governor's anger over something that even Johnny taught at one time, right?
Right.
So we'll get to that in a moment.
And we'll continue to take your calls and texts at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. It's the Don Salvia Show with John and Gordy filling in. We're coming right back. Repeating what they're thinking anyway. Let's raise the stakes on the bet we made. Let's decide to be the architects, the masters of our
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is John and Gordy filling in for Don Salvia. Left a little early for Thanksgiving dinner.
That's all right.
Yeah. And we're on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our Busted Pencils guest, Tim Slecker, is on the line right now. And we're talking to him about education and the possibility of things going absolutely wrong once Trump takes the podium. We're really in trouble with this guy. You never know what to expect exactly from any of this. And, you know, a lot of this is based on threats, right, and scare tactics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and then if that's the easiest way. And there is a lot of fear out there. Again, whether it's coming from Trump or any of the people that support him, you say now, too, there are some MAGA governors out there right now doing their fair share of scaring the crap out of people. You know, is it governor of Oklahoma decided to put forth a kind of you will not decree, yes, to college professors? You were, you know, talking about that in the break. Yeah, and we covered that in the our podcast too this week. It's, you know, education in American society. It's a course that every beginning teacher takes. It's learning about what does it mean to have a public school system, the history of public education, the challenges, the economics associated with it. And yeah, guess what? There is a portion of that class where you talk about the ethnic diversity of the students that you're going to teach. And some of the facts that come out is that public school teachers teach diverse populations of students, and some of that diversity is worth considering when you're teaching. The governor of Oklahoma has said that course, no more. We're not going to be putting that forward in the state of Oklahoma. And as Johnny pointed out, he's been teaching that course for 18 years. And actually, too, I taught it, and I even pointed out, I had a form of that course in 1985, my freshman year college. I mean, this is this type of course, because it really points out the reality of what we said. The truth is that if you're a public school teacher in America, you are going to be taking your place amongst a group of children, families, communities, of which there is this vision, a promise that says all kids are welcome. All families are welcome. You're guaranteed to get the best education you can. And the reality of that student body then is that it's a diversity makeup of that community. And the reality is that we as teachers should get to know and understand who our students are, who their families are, and what are some of the histories involved in the challenges that, guess what, certain groups of people in America have had challenges to get the education that they are entitled to.
Right.
And so that's what we're talking about in this course, where the governor of Oklahoma doesn't want this course to be taught anymore.
That sounds really destructive, actually. And it's something that you learn, that you know about, and you practice it in your class, but it doesn't come out in a way that you're, you know, actually espousing anything, but you're using it mentally in order to, you know, help guide these students through life, through the class. Right?
Well, I said, you know, this is truly the attack on truth. This is an attack on history. And again, back to what we said, who is it that's really all about indoctrination? Because it is this group, the MAGA group, are the indoctrinators of the day right now. The reality that they truly are saying it's against the law to teach the truth to future teachers. And if you're an institution associated with the state and we find out you're teaching truth, you're going to be in trouble. Seriously, we have made it point forward. The truth is now something that gets you in trouble.
That's right.
And now, Jess, jump in here, because I believe you used to be a teacher. Or are you still?
I still am a teacher. I teach supplemental education. So I teach a Jewish religious school every Sunday. This is my fifth year doing so. I primarily teach seventh graders in the B'nai Mitzvah year. So this is the year when they are becoming bar or bat mitzvah. They are learning what it means to be a Jewish spiritual adult, an adult member of our congregation. And yeah, I also teach Hebrew.
All right. You know, the school choice can, I guess, pay for a lot of religious teaching as well, now that we've...
It can, but it shouldn't.
Right, exactly.
It absolutely shouldn't. Public funds should go to public schools.
Exactly. Right. Well,
It's public funds, and it's truly said, you know, you'll hear people say, well, there is no church separation of church and state in the Constitution. No, but that language has been, you know, kind of came out of the reality of what it says, is that though this country will not mandate a state organized religion that you all or as the people have to practice, freedom of religion, institutions then supported by the government should not, and in fact, it is unconstitutional for them to espouse a religious doctrine that you have to adhere to be able to get the benefits of being a citizen or being a taxpayer. This is what we're talking about in choice money here. So the reality is that it's not your choice money. This is state tax money that was allocated to educate the people, not to indoctrinate people to be Christian nationalists.
Tim Slacker from Busted Pencils, thanks for being our guest today. Okay.
All right. Hey. Got to leave it there. You can check out their podcast. They drop a new one Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, right. And also Saturdays. They're live on the Civic Media Radio Network at 3 o'clock, right?
Yep. And as we say, any way you want it, that's the way you get it.
Okay. Got it. It's John and Gordy in for Dom Salvio. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim Santel coming up.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.